Last week, New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Democratic Senator Edward Markey introduced the Green New Deal, a non-binding resolution that would radically overhaul America's economy in the name of fighting global climate change. The resolution bundled together a variety of big-ticket progressive policy priorities, not all of which were obviously related to climate change. From universal health coverage to a jobs guarantee to subsidized college, the proposal was swiftly praised by much of the 2020 Democratic presidential field, yet even some liberals wondered if it was trying to do too much at once. In attempting to be all things to everyone, would the Green New Deal end up being nothing to anyone? Veronique DeRuggi, a Reason columnist and senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, joined me to explain what the Green New Deal means, why it would be so expensive, and why even socialist countries in Europe don't try to do this much.
So the Green New Deal, I've been hearing an awful lot about it. It's got so many provisions. It's got universal health care and free college and high-speed rail that's going to be so awesome it will make air travel unnecessary. Also, it's going to help us fight climate change. So I guess I just want to start with an overview. What is the Green New Deal? What sort of policies does it include? Help us understand it.
So there are two parts of the Green New Deal, right? There's one that is meant to move us away from dirty energy technologies and towards green energy technologies. So it's like that's the high-speed rail, that's the massive investment on solar and wind. And so there's all that stuff. And then there's this other part, which is all about income security, guaranteed income, guaranteed jobs, free colleges. I'm not quite sure how these two things work or if they're necessary together. But the one really massive contradiction that I see between those two parts is like one of the way they sell the green part of the deal is that it's going to create this great boom in the economy and create millions of jobs. And if that's the case, why do you need all these social programs?
So this is a jobs program and a welfare program and a way of fighting climate change, all wrapped up in one policy.
And delivered within 10 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Give us a sense of how much some of these policies would cost. I mean, Medicare for All, your colleague estimated something like $32 trillion. That's just the healthcare portion.
And
of
that's
this.
Over.
What about the rest?
That's
of it?
Over again. That's over 10 years,
right?
I've seen estimates of like on the green stuff. It could be, you know, anywhere between $12 trillion to $20 trillion.
And that's on top of the $32 trillion
for
Medicare for All.
That's for the green. That's for the green side, right? So it's like really expensive on the green energy side. It's really expensive just on the Medicaid side. On, you know, it's going to be hundreds of trillions of dollars of federal commitment.
I think the argument that I've heard from folks who support the Green New Deal say that what this really is it's an aspirational document, a framework that is designed to respond to the scale of the threat that climate change represents. So let me ask you, are there any good ideas in there? Is there anything that we should be pursuing? How exactly would this fight climate change?
Well, so for me, it's really hard to actually assess this deal credibly because it doesn't even tell you what the priorities are, what the costs are, how we're going to be paying for this.
So in some sense, it sounds like it's hard to assess simply because it's all packaged together and because they have decided to roll it all into one big policy proposal, that makes it difficult to figure out which of those ideas might even be feasible.
Well, the other thing is actually, I have to say, like, you know, without being completely paranoid, is really the goal is basically even more intervention of the government into multiple areas of our lives and just kind of, you know, just covered up with a big green bow.
An early version of the FAQ that accompanied this said that they wanted to provide income for people who were unwilling to work.
Mm-hmm.
They've since retracted that, but that basically sounds like a UBI, a universal basic income, which is basically government money for anyone, regardless of whether you're working or not. Talk a little bit about that. What do you think of that idea? The universal basic income is something that some libertarians have actually said they support at times.
Yeah, the reason is simple, right? We have a system right now that's highly paternalistic, it's highly inefficient, it's actually not serving poor people really well.
Right, and it's very fractured
exactly.
across multiple social
programs.
So
basically, bureaucrats are telling you how much you can spend on housing, how much you can spend on food, how much you can spend on this and that, right? So in a sense, UBI is a tempting for libertarians and for a lot of people because it gets rid of all of this stuff. And you basically have a system less paternalistic. You treat poor people with decency and you acknowledge that they know better than bureaucrats in Washington what's good for them. The other thing that I think is somewhat appealing, at least for someone like me who's in UBI, I want to say from the beginning I'm against it, but is the fact that that's one thing that the government does pretty well is to actually cut checks. I mean, when you look at Social Security, right, I mean, the amount of improper payment is really high, but as a share of the whole program, of how much, you know, as a share of all the payment made, it's under 1%, which is much less than, you know, than Medicare, Medicaid, the earned income tax credit, massive improper payments. So these are two things, but that's where it stops. Because even in the best case scenario where you substitute a UBI for all the other form of welfare, you know, it's insane because you're like, you're having a program where you tax the rich to give back to the rich. You end up making welfare a system that caters a lot to non-disabled, non-poor. It's a really bad system. There's also the fact that I don't even believe that we'll ever reach a moment where we get rid of all these other programs. Plus, we can't guarantee that they don't come back. So, I mean, it's a really hard system to support, even in its ideal form. And yet there's this Green New Deal version, which doesn't even seem to entertain this notion of like actually substituting for all the rest. So it's on top of what we have now.
What the Green New Deal is in many ways, it seems to me, is an attempt to have it all. It's a progressive policy wish list rather than an actual policy proposal. Quite a few of the Democratic Party's 2020 hopefuls have already said positive things about this. Do you see the Green New Deal as being a driving force in progressive politics and Democratic Party politics going forward? Is this something that has a realistic chance?
Well, I mean, there's no way they can do this, right? I mean, without a way of paying
right.
it. I mean, there's like.
So why are they backing it if it's a thing that is impossible?
I guess because it's aspirational, and they feel that if they don't, I don't know. I don't understand politicians at all. I mean, maybe it's our shot to get back to a more normal, you know, discourse from the left, that they let them kind of try out this dream balloon, and when it pops completely, I mean, then maybe they will have gotten it out of their system, and we will stop talking about Medicare for all, or we'll talk about it in terms of what does it mean in terms of trade-off, who's going to be paying for this.
I thought it was notable how Speaker Pelosi responded to a question about this. She responded something like, by calling it the Green Dream or whatever,
yeah.
and just said, well, it's one proposal among many and we'll take a look at all of them, but really kind of dismissed this. It suggested to me that leadership, at least, views this as a bad idea.
I mean, we can look at a big government economy that has never been as ambitious as this Green New Deal, like the economy of France. I mean, college is free there, right? I mean, and school is free, and one form of Medicare for all. I mean, it would take the different form that the
although even in France, the universal healthcare program is much less ambitious than
yes,
what Bernie
it
Sanders
is,
is
which
calling
is
for.
Why this is why I say, you know, the French economy is ruled by an ambitious big government, governments.
The government makes up something like 50% of the economy, right?
It does. But so when you look at what's happening in France, it's kind of interesting. People are really, really pissed because the only way you can actually finance some of that big government is through very regressive taxes, right? So it means that, yes, the rich are paying a lot, but the burden on the middle class and poor people is really, really, really high. We see the impact of this on people protesting in France massively. And it's been going on for months now. And I mean, it's quite devastating.
It's a program to help the poor and middle class that somehow ends up being paid for by the poor and the middle class.
Well, there's no right? other way. I mean, it's just there's not enough money at the top. And so you have to go towards more regressive taxes. And you can, you look at Spain, you look at Italy, you look at all big government countries. And this is how it's done. And it's not great.